Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Praise God, yes? Amen. All right, man. Well, man, I hope you guys are excited. Let's just pray. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord. God, I pray right now, I don't care what we're going through, God, remove it out of our mind. Remove it out of our heart, Lord. Let us just go after you today. God, I pray that you've already spoke to everyone in worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, you guys looking good tonight. Well, we were praying prior, and we just pray. I really do pray this. I pray that when you leave here today, that you are just closer to God. This ain't a place we like hanging out and having fun and meeting all of our friends, but man, we would hate for you to leave here hopeless. We would hate for you to leave here not hearing God. We would hate for you to leave here just not closer to Jesus and understanding his word, because his word wants to change you, but it is up to you. It's up to you to what God can do in your life. It's your decision, and I believe today that we didn't just come just to have just an amazing and good time, but at the same time, we get to learn who Jesus is. So we're going to be in Ephesians. We're in a new series, Ephesians chapter 1, but I want to build a foundation before we even get to this chapter. I want us to look at, if you have your Bibles, in Genesis 2:17. I'm going to read this. A lot of you that are Bible readers are familiar with this chapter. I've been a Bible reader for 18 years because that's how long I've been saved. But I had to hear another preacher, and that faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's how we get rhemas. You might be serving God your whole life, and all of a sudden, you've read this one verse over and over, and then finally, just God gave you a revelation on it. That happens all the time. That's why it's so exciting to be a Bible reader, to read your word. Don't be that person that says, well, I read it before. No, keep reading it. This word is living. This is what changes your life, is the word of God. But I want you to catch something here. Listen to this. This is God, and he's talking to Adam. A lot of us that are familiar with the first couple chapters of Genesis, it's God creating the earth and everything. And he says something that, I'll be honest, I never really caught it, but listen to this. He goes, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge. Listen to this. This is what I didn't catch. Maybe you did, but I didn't. Of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Did you catch what he said? He was telling Adam, he didn't even want Adam to experience good and evil. I always just thought evil. I don't know why I thought that. So I had to go back and read that. He said, I don't want you to even know the knowledge of good and evil. But he gave them trees to eat from, the tree of life. And when I read that, God gave me a revelation. And what that guy said, it just spoke to me. God wants you to know him, and that's it. He wants you to have a revelation on him, because what happens is, once they ate of that fruit, guess what? They knew of good and they knew of evil. And what happens is we base our Christianity on our goodness. Do you notice that we do that sometimes? Well, I didn't do this, 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 and this. I'm good. Instead of focusing on building a relationship with Jesus. We can live our life. I hear it all the time. Hey, pastor, I don't do drugs, smoke, this, this, and this no more. But what's your relationship with Jesus? Well, I don't read my Bible. I don't spend time with God. I thought Christianity was just about being good. When the Bible tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags. That our goodness ain't, I mean, it's good to do great things, but the closer you get, he's looking for somebody to have a righteous heart, to have a pure heart, to have a pure mind. So he told Adam straight off, hey man, I do not want you to eat of this. I don't even want you to know the knowledge of good and evil. I just want you to know me. Because when we know him, we would understand to get through verses when the Bible says through various trials and tribulations that we will have, that we can still be serving God through them. Do you know that? You can have a bad doctor's report right now and you can still be serving Jesus. You can be going through hell on earth and right now still during worship praising Jesus. You can have no money that cannot pay your rent this coming up
past first, but you can still be praising Jesus when you know him. Amen. That's what he wants. That's when people see God in us. That's when people go, there's something different about them. Because we know a lot of good people that don't believe in God. So that tells us, right, that there's a place of our faith that he wants us to be, that we trust in him so much. So I'm going to read this story because this is going to sum up of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, what it's talking about. It talks a lot about redemption. And listen to this true story. Back in 2000, 23-year-old Cornelius Anderson III, nicknamed Mike, was arrested for robbing a Burger King at gunpoint. He was sentenced to 13 years in prison, released on bail, and told to await orders on when to show up for his sentencing. The orders never came. Due to a clerical error, Anderson never went to prison. But listen to this. But instead of his freedom to commit more crimes, Anderson started his own construction business, became a youth football coach, and volunteered at his local church. He also got married, had three children, and became a well-liked member in his community. But listen to this. 13 years, the state discovered later the error and put Anderson behind bars for nearly 1 year. As the case received international coverage, an online petition for his release gained more than 35,000 signatures. After a court hearing that lasted only 10 minutes, the judge conceded that Anderson was a changed man and granted him credit for the years he should have been in prison. A teary-eyed Anderson walked out of that courtroom with his wife and daughter, telling the reporters, "Thank," and he was grateful to God's grace. Amen. That's us. There's nothing we can do but receive Jesus as our Savior and trust in him. That young man deserved to go to prison. He knew he did. But as the opportunity came, he said, "You know what? I'm going to change my life. I'm going to do something different in my life." And guess what? When that came back, and when he still deserved to go to prison of the crime he committed, he was set free. Doesn't that sound like what Jesus did on the cross for us? So that's what we're going to read about. First, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. I'm going to read the first verse. Listen to this. In him, we have redemption through his blood. I'm going to stop right. We're going to stay on this verse for a minute. In him, we have what? Redemption. We can skip over that verse real quick and not even pay attention to one of the most important words in this Bible verse, redemption. Let me explain to you a little bit what redemption is. To buy back, here's the definition, to buy back, to set free by paying a ransom, to be delivered by a sacrifice. But listen to what he said. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. In him, we have redemption. If you don't get anything out of this message today, I pray that this word redemption speaks to you. Listen to this. I'm going to kind of explain to you what is redemption. Listen to this. I'll put a few things here. Jesus' redemption. Listen to this. In the back, please. Listen to this. Jesus' redemption grants us freedom from the guilt and the condemnation and the shame of our sin. Let me read that again. Jesus' redemption grants us freedom from guilt and condemnation and the shame of our sin. The Bible makes it clear there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I just got a phone call from somebody this week. It says, "Pastor Al, man, I just feel so guilty of what I did years ago." I go, "Are you born again?" "Yes, then don't." There's no condemnation. There's no guilt. When you are redeemed by Jesus and his blood, guess what it is? There's freedom in him. That's Jesus right there. He grants us freedom. Listen to this other one right here. Listen to this. Jesus' redemption grants us freedom from seeking to earn God's favor. That we don't have to go out there and just work, and hope that God falls in love with us. No, he loves you unconditionally. You can work all you want, and yes, please work. Don't be lazy. But I'm telling you right now, you ain't gonna gain God's favor. He's already given it to us when he went to the cross. He already gave us his favor when he says, "None of you guys, none of us deserve it, but I'm gonna send my son Jesus to die for you." Listen to this Bible verse. A lot of you guys are familiar with Luke 10, 38 through 42. I'm going to read this real quick, then we'll go back. Listen to this. This is Jesus talking. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered. This is Jesus. He entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated, at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was, God help us with this, but Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Isn't that amazing? No matter what the other lady that loved God and loved Jesus, she was just working and working and hoping to get the approval and probably more favor and something that God was going to do. And then Jesus said, he said, no. There has to come a time in your life that you have to come to a place of worshiping Jesus. Some of us are at a place in our life and we're trying to figure out why we're still at the same. We're trying to figure out why we still think the same. We're trying to figure out, I just wrote this in my own notes. This is something I've been working on. Don't react, try to respond. There's a difference. Oh, that's in my notes every day. How you react too quick. Why don't you step back and pray and ask God to help you to respond properly? Amen. And we've seen in that story, both of them doing something important, right? But that one that was worshiping Jesus, that has to be a part, Christianity, that has to be a part of your life, like breathing, like brushing your teeth every morning, like I hope you do, right? It has to be a part of your life of worshiping Jesus. Because that's the way you're going to be able to come to a place where God is going to help you to renew the way you think so you can respond different. That's the way. Let's go back to that one again about his favor. Please, let's go back to that one. Jesus' redemption, now let's read it again. Jesus' redemption grants us freedom from seeking to earn God's favor. We've seen that lady. She wasn't doing wrong. She was keeping the house clean, doing all the chores, but she was neglecting the Savior that was right in front of her. And she was seeking. So we can't, let me just ensure you guys, go after Jesus. Yes, work, serve, do all that, but don't neglect Jesus. Don't neglect being with him and allowing your heart to open up to his favor, because that's what God wants to do. He wants to give you that favor. Here's another one. Listen to this. Jesus' redemption. He grants us freedom to live a life of hope and love. I always pray the same thing, because I don't want to be up here and give you guys a false hope. None of us speakers want to, even in worship. I don't want to sit here and say, by his stripes you are healed, and you leave here sick and die. No, but I do want you to leave here with God's hope, that his word does show us that he's a supernatural healing God, that his word does show us that he can give us peace that surpasses all understanding, that his word does give us hope, that he can remove anxiety and depression from us, that his word does give us hope. I still might leave here addicted with drugs or alcohol, but he gives me hope that one day I can be set free. That's the God we serve. That by his redemption, let's put that back up there, please. Let's put that back up there. Jesus' redemption grants us. In him we have redemption. And his redemption gives us freedom and gives us life and gives us hope and gives us love. Sometimes we miss that. We leave here hopeless. And we're like, there's no way. Let me go try something else. No, really, try Jesus. Don't be scared to say, you know what, God, I'm a man or a woman of pride, but when that altar opens up, God, I'm going to come up here and I'm going to sacrifice everything that is holding what you want to do in my life. He wants to give you that. He don't want no one to leave here hopeless. I can't explain to you why God heals some people, God does not to some people, God grants some. I don't know, but I know God's up to something. Like I've always said, when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. He wants to do something great in your life. And one of the greatest things that Jesus can do is you leave here with hope. That you leave here with hope that maybe one day your children can be born again. That you leave here with hope that maybe one day that your spouse can be born again. That you leave here with hope that one day you might prosper and you might be in a place of finances that you can be a blessing. That you might just leave here with hope that maybe one day if you have a sickness that God can heal you or give you wisdom in a different direction. I don't know what God wants to do, but you can leave here with hope and not be hopeless. When you understand his redemption. Let's go to the next one in the back, please. Jesus, I love this one, grants us freedom from what? From fear, from worry, and from anxiety. This is you want to talk about a pandemic. This is a pandemic right now. Do you know that? And God's word tells us different. He tells us, don't worry about nothing. You're like, God, I don't understand that one. Can you believe that Jesus tells us in his word to not worry about nothing? So think about everything you're worrying about right now. He's telling you not to. But do you know how we all get to a place that we don't? When we get closer to Jesus. When we get closer to him, we start trusting in him. When we get closer to him, we start having more faith in him. When we trust in him and we understand his redemption, we stop fearing about things and we start taking more risk when we hear God. And we stop having some anxiety. When we come to a place of closeness to God. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not just saying that God just grants us that. He might be speaking to somebody today to do something different in your life. You know, he does that. Okay, don't just sit back and say, I'm going to see what God does. No, he wants to see what you're going to do. He wants to see if you trust in him. He wants to see when you're down to nothing in your finances that you're going to still sow a seed. He wants to see when your health ain't good that you're out there maybe doing walking or something. I don't know. But he's going to put different nuggets in you. But it has to come to a place that you trust in God and you believe in God. I remember, I've said it before up here, my favorite verse was 2 Timothy 1:7. For God doesn't give me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. I must have said that verse 1,000 times a day until I started believing it. Because it was just a verse at first. The next thing you know, I started believing it. I started having faith in it. I started saying, man, well, God doesn't give me a spirit of fear. So what's giving me that? Let me step back a little bit and let me not react in my life, but let me respond different. So God can show me his hand and his glory. Let's look at the next one, please. Jesus' redemption. I like this one. God, please speak to us through this one. Jesus' redemption grants us freedom. Listen to this. I'm going to speak to somebody. From seeking approval and acceptance from people. Oh my God, let me read that one again. Jesus' redemption grants us freedom from seeking approval and acceptance from people. Our identity is not in people. Our identity is in Jesus. If you're always sitting there trying to get approval and acceptance from people, it's going to wear you out. And you're going to forget about God. Did not his scripture tell you over and over who you are in him? You got to believe it. Because what happens, like I said, if we don't connect with Jesus, we don't believe in verses like this. We say, no, I want approval from people. I want to please people all the time. He's not saying don't work for people and submit to some people that he put. He's not saying that. He's saying the approval of who God said you are. You are a man of God and you are a woman of God created for greatness. You have a purpose. God wants to do something great in your life. But if you believe in what everyone's saying about you, guess what? That's who you're going to become. You really are. You really do become who you hang out with. I'm being honest with you. Somebody I might be speaking to you right now is somebody you're going to have to text them and say, it's over. I'm done. I had to do that with a dear friend of somebody I loved to death last week. I just couldn't deal with it no more. I'm serious. I said, no, I can't. I started talking like that. I'm telling you guys, if we can get a hold of this one, we'll understand who our identity is in him. We'll understand who we are in Jesus. We'll walk in such a confidence in Jesus when we understand. And we just won't just fall for anything because we know who we are in him. Okay? And I believe and I pray that this is I prayed about this one. When I read this, I go, oh, Lord, please, God, help us with that, especially in this generation, especially with these young people today, God. We want to please people so bad. God, help us to please you. Help us to have our faith in you. Let's look at another one. Jesus' redemption grants us freedom, listen to this, to forgive. This is going to speak to somebody right now. And listen to this, and to fail and still know we are loved. Isn't that amazing? His redemption, he gives us A place where we can forgive somebody that had hurt us. And I love that one. And that we can fail and still get back up and know that we know God loves us. Know that we know His grace is sufficient in our life. Know that we know no matter what we do, He will pick us up. He will never leave us or forsake. Your family, your friends, and everybody else might leave you. But let me tell you, let me encourage somebody right now. Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. Never. Now, we might leave Him, but He'll never leave us. We need to get a revelation on that one right there. That He grants us freedom. Let me tell you, since we're on forgiveness, please, I'm going to encourage somebody. Forgiving somebody that hurt you is probably one of the hardest things I ever had to do. And I know some of you right now have got a very unforgiving, hardened heart. But let me encourage you. When you give that to Jesus, I don't understand all how He does it, but He will do it. When you come to Him and you're honest with Him and you speak verses like this, God, I'm free in You, God, but I don't feel free. Help me, God. I don't, no matter what or how they hurt me, Lord, help me. For me to forgive, because let me tell you what the root of unforgiveness is: depression, anxiety, hurt, restless nights, bad thoughts, all kinds of stuff comes from just the root of unforgiveness. So I pray in the name of Jesus that you trust and you believe in His redemption, that He will heal your heart. It won't be overnight, but the more you seek after Him, God can heal that broken heart. God can heal and get you to a place of forgiving and giving that pain to God. Amen. Do you understand that what God's trying to do in that redemption? He wants to redeem you. Listen to this. Listen to this Bible verse, Galatians 3:13. Listen to this Bible verse. Galatians 3:13, please. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus took everything, even a lot of people don't even understand this verse. He took everything, the whole law, everything on the cross for us. Then we get into the next thing of this verse. Listen to this. Let's go back to that verse, chapter 1, verse 7. He says this, in Him we have redemption through His blood. Listen to this, through His what? Through His blood is why we have redemption. We couldn't even be redeemed if it wasn't for His blood. Let me explain to you a little bit about Jesus. We sang all kinds of songs about Jesus' blood. Let me remind you, Jesus' blood was spotless and sinless. Prior to Jesus going to the cross, in the Old Testament, they would sacrifice animals. They would have to get clean. They didn't just get any animal. They had to get animals that were clean, and they would use that to be a sacrifice for their sins. But then God looked down and seen us, oh, hopeless us, that every single one of us, we were found guilty. And some way, somehow, God, I don't know how He did, He had compassion for us. And He knew the only way that all of us can stand here right now and thank Jesus for our freedom is because God sent His only begotten Son to die for you. I hope you get a revelation on that. That His blood, His clean, sinless blood, bared all your sins. Imagine that. Every sin, every thought, He bared yours. Imagine that. If that don't give you some kind of hope or some kind of revelation or something that gives you such a desire and passion to go, oh, Pastor Al, I understand what you're talking about now. I want more of Jesus. That, and you know how He had to shed blood? He got beat. Think about that. Before He was even hanging on a cross, the beating that He had to take for you and me. I don't know if you have anyone else that have ever done that for you. I don't. But He went to a cross for us that didn't even care about Him, that didn't even know Him, that shamed Him, so He can give us redemption through His blood, so He can give us freedom through His blood. That should be enough for all of us to walk through these doors and say, I'm not playing no more these games with my life no more. I'm going to get to know Jesus. I want to know that Jesus that went to a cross and died for me. I want to know that Jesus that got beat and humiliated to the world for me. I want to know that Jesus that died and rose again for me. I want to know that Jesus that heals the sick. I want to know that Jesus that raised the dead. I want to know that Jesus that healed the blind. I want to know that Jesus that gave life. Give God some praise in this place. That's the Jesus that wants to heal you. That's the Jesus that wants to set you free. I don't know what Jesus some of y'all are serving, but that's the Jesus that gives us life. and gives us life abundantly. That's the Jesus that when we walk out of these doors, no matter what Goliath is in our path, we can still praise God. No matter what doctor's report is in our path, we can praise God. No matter how broke we are, we can praise God. No matter where your kids are in this, but you can praise Jesus. That's the Jesus that we serve that gives us redemption for life. Give God another praise. He wants to heal you. He wants to do something great in your life. Amen. That's the God we serve. Look at Hebrews 10:19. Look at this, Hebrews 10:19. Listen to this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly, this is boldly, enter heaven's most holy place because of what? The blood of Jesus. We can boldly come to God and say, you know what, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to surrender. I'm tired of playing this lukewarm Christianity, God. I finally figured it out. My goodness don't mean nothing to you. But God, you want a relationship with me. You want to do something great in my life. I put a few things here. Listen to this. Jesus' blood, listen what it does in our life. It purifies our hearts and our minds. Let's go to the next one, please. Jesus' blood helps us. I love this one. Helps us to overcome temptations. So let's look at the next one. Jesus' blood brings us peace. And let me tell you, some of us probably ain't had a good night's sleep because we ain't experiencing God's peace. Next one, please. Jesus' blood gives us confidence. Not cockiness. He gives us confidence that we serve a God that can help me. That I serve a God that can help me think different. I serve a God that can heal my broken heart. Next one, please. Jesus' blood cleanses us of not some of our sins, all of our sins. Next verse, please. Jesus' blood provides us with the power to overcome evil. Next verse. And Jesus' blood, you guys should get excited about this, gives us what? Eternal life. Jesus' blood gives us eternal life. My father-in-law right now, he's on hospice. I was just at the hospital with him a couple days ago, dying. And I was so honest with him. I didn't throw him verses that you're going to walk out of here healed. I go, no, guess what? When you gave your life to Jesus, you were made whole. I go, most likely you're not going to make it. I was so honest with him. I said, most likely, but guess what? You're born again. I go, you're going to be gone in heaven. We'll still be here. I go, you're born again. There's the hope of Jesus, I told him. That you're going to go to a place, I told him, where God said he'll wipe away all of our tears. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more death. That angels in heaven are going to be rejoicing when you get there. I said, that's the God you serve. That's the hope that I told them. And we're going to read this. Listen to this. Well, I've told you we might get through this verse. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our wrongdoings. Listen to this. I like this. According to the riches of God's grace. To the riches of his grace. Can you please put that verse up? In the riches of his grace. Let me explain to you about what God's, the riches. He didn't just say according to his grace. He said according to the riches of his grace. Listen to this. Grace, you know what that is? It's undeserved favor. That we don't deserve it. Just like that one guy in the first story I talked about, he deserved to go to prison. He committed the crime. But you know what? The judge somehow, some way, seen something different in him and set him free. That's grace. God, grace cannot be earned. I'll put it right here. Jesus' grace is always available to you. Always. When you don't deserve it, God will give you grace. When you don't expect it, God will give you grace. When you don't even want it sometimes, guess what? God will give you grace. The Bible talks about how his grace is sufficient in our life. Sometimes we need to come to this altar and not feel ashamed to say, God, I don't deserve your grace. But God, your word says you give me grace. Not only just grace, according to your riches of your grace you give me. That's even like beyond what we can even imagine what God gives us. But listen, I love this verse, verse 8. Listen to this, guys. He gave his grace with his lavished, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. Do you guys even understand what that word lavished is? You know, like when you lavish somebody with gifts, you give them more than what was expected. He's telling us, right? Now, can you imagine? Most of us that didn't even believe in God that before we got saved, that he lavished his grace upon us. Can you grasp that? He gave us more than enough. He could have just had one Bible verse in this whole book, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But he said, no. I want to keep lavishing them with my word. I want to give them more and more. I want to give them so much grace and so much mercy, and I want to keep repeating it over and over and over how much I love them. That's how he lavished us with his grace. That's how he lavished us with his love. He gave us more than necessary. That's the Jesus that you serve today. I'm going to call up our prayer team. There's a couple more verses, but I believe that somebody's going to get born again today. And somebody's going to experience God's grace, his hope, his love, his redemption today. I would not walk out of here without asking God to do something in my life. Because let me say, I believe in prayer. I believe in laying up the hands. I believe in just right where you're at, crying out to God and saying, God, I can't leave here the same I walked in here, God. Don't let me be ashamed of other people's approval that might be sitting next to me. Oh my God, can you believe that person's raising their hand? You better not care. They ain't got nothing to do with your eternity. They ain't got nothing to do with what God wants to do in your life. They got nothing to do with the hope that only Jesus can give you. They got nothing to do with the love of God that he can pour out upon your life today. It has nothing to do with the experience that you can experience with God today. Give God some praise in this house. Everybody on their feet. Everybody on their feet, please. We're going to pray, and we're going to believe, and we're going to trust in Jesus. And guess what happens? We end up turning this city upside down for Jesus because of us. Because we've went to the throne of grace. Because we accepted his redemption. Because we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So right now, if there's anybody right now in here that's never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, please, you don't even have to lift up your hand. You can come up here to the front. We just want to pray with you. We don't want, if you want to just rededicate, you want to recommit your life back to Jesus, you just come up here. Don't be ashamed and don't let yourself stop you. Don't let yourself stop you. Here comes a young man. Here are a couple of young men. Yes. Here come three young men. Yes. Come on up here. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. This is what's going to change you. Amen. The Bible says if just one comes to repentance, that angels in heaven are rejoicing and partying. Let's just pray. These guys are going to pray for all these men. Yes. Let's give them a clap. Amen. Praise Jesus. Amen. Let's just pray. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. I pray for everyone in here right now, God. I pray that your word spoke to everyone in this place about your redemption, about your love, about your hope, about your grace, about your mercy, about your purpose, about how you lavished everything upon us. Devil, you have no authority over one person in this place right now. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit falls upon everybody in here. God, that not one person leaves here hopeless, but they leave here with hope, believing and trusting in you, God. I rebuke anxiety. I rebuke depression. I rebuke fear. I rebuke emptiness. I rebuke pain. I rebuke just loneliness. I rebuke people just weaknesses within their hearts. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, healing, healing, healing upon everybody in here right now. God, we give you the glory, we give you the praise, and we thank you. Let's give Jesus the loudest shout of praise. Amen. Love you guys. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love, here is